Good morning, everybody. So I'm Peter Scarf with the University of Missouri, and I'm going to tell you about a little bit of work we did last year with catching some dry nitrogen production cornfields, and I've already given away the punchline. We didn't find very good spread patterns in these fields, and that might make you think that I'm not a proponent of dry nitrogen. In fact, that's the opposite of the case. I feel like there's some important reasons and roles why I'm interested in, why I bothered to even look at the spread patterns. And the first one is that it's fast. Second one is that because it's fast, it gives you timing flexibility, and I think that's increasingly important. A third one is that you can avoid early season nitrogen loss by holding off and going in season with a dry application where you are moving and getting a lot done. And fourth is it's the easiest way to do variable rate and get a reasonably wide range of rates. So I'll go through each of those in succession, but one of the things about a machine like the one on the screen is that you can really cover a lot of acres. And when I started my job 22 years ago, people in Missouri who were doing in-season nitrogen were mostly using anhydrous, maybe 12 rows at a time and 4 miles an hour. And this machine literally can do 10 times as many acres in a day as that could do. So it changes the entire logistics of how you get these things done. A machine like this is not nearly as fast, but it's still a lot faster than anhydrous, and it doesn't cost nearly as much as the self-propelled machine. And this is a picture from a guy who does every acre of his corn that way, and we have several people doing that. And avoiding early season nitrogen loss is one of my big interests here, and it's because we've had a sequence of wet years where I live in Missouri and across the Midwest. This is a picture from Iowa, actually. And you end up with the nitrogen being lost because of all water, and it can be leaching or denitrification, but then you end up with corn that is yellow, and then you end up with corn that didn't make nearly what it could have. And we've got some documentation of that at the field scale, but we also have an experiment that we've run for 10 years in small plots in central Missouri. And after 10 years, if we put our nitrogen down at planting, those treatments, the best one of those treatments is 260 bushels behind the worst treatment that got its nitrogen when the corn was knee-high. None of these have a split application. It's all either at planting or at knee-high, and the knee-high is coming out way ahead because of performing a lot better in the wet years. And so dry nitrogen in season can help avoid that. Another thing is ease of variable rate, and I didn't really know that this was an issue when I started doing variable rate with on-farm research, but you're looking with a dry ground machine at just changing the belt speed, and that's really easy to do, and you can do it quickly with a lot of sensitivity. Whereas with liquid, and that includes anhydrous, there's a lot of physics that actually constrains the whole process. And I didn't know that. It was just we got to doing it and we realized we can't make these rates go up and down as much as we'd like to because, and I won't go into detail, but we get to the pressures on a UAN system are so high that you're starting to look at blowing hoses. And otherwise, when the pressures get so low, you're looking at poor distribution along the bar. And the same thing goes with anhydrous, that when you close down the ball valve enough that you're getting a low rate, you're starting to get uneven distribution. So two times is about the maximum variability that you can do with a liquid system without getting special setup. Now, I mentioned variable rate nitrogen, and that's really what got me into doing the research that I'm going to tell you about. I've been very interested in nitrogen loss. I've gotten up in a plane and looked at nitrogen loss many years in areas with excess rainfall, and what I noticed was there was an awful lot of fields out there where you would see streaks. It was variable rate within one pass of the applicator, and that wasn't really the intention. Here's another good picture of that. And I would say more than half the fields where I see nitrogen loss, I see some kind of streaking. And for those of you who are used to using anhydrous ammonia and you think, oh, well, this is another good reason not to use dry fertilizer, don't get too satisfied because I see an awful lot of streaks from the air that were caused by anhydrous ammonia as well. And I've georeferenced a lot of these fields, measured the distance between streaks, and I can tell, when it's anhydrous, and I can pretty much tell just by looking, but because I've georeferenced them enough, I know, okay, that's 30 feet or 40 feet, and it's not going to be anything else. So looking from the air and seeing those streaks, my hypothesis, and I told people this for years, was that I thought it was our increasing imports of urea, and I knew I'd seen a big decline in the quality of urea during my career, and that the dusty material couldn't be thrown by a spinner. So we tested this. We went out in the 6 production fields with catch pans and caught the dry fertilizer with the idea of saying, okay, what kind of a pattern, and is that the reason for the streaks? In field 1, it was a tractor-based cart. It was not in season. It was before planting, so this is not an actual picture of that field, but it gives you an idea of the machine that was used. It was something like this. And when we measured every 5 feet across the swath, we found that the intended rate was not very close to the actually applied rate in quite a few of the places. So the red line shows the intended rate, which was 160 pounds of nitrogen per acre, or about 180 probably kilos per hectare. And the actual observed rate went from 60 to 220. And so there was a great deal of that spread pattern where it wasn't right. You could see going across the field with these kind of patterns where you might get some streaking appearance from the air. The thing that we saw with a low rate in the middle of the pass contradicts my hypothesis of it being dry material, because if you had dusty dry fertilizer that you couldn't throw, it would come out right behind the applicator at a higher rate. And that's not what we saw. We saw a lower rate behind the applicator in this case, and in fact in all the cases. So we had kept track of where these catch pans were, and our plan was when we saw variability from the planned rate, we would go and do hand harvest at those known locations to capture a range of different rates and see what was the yield associated with each of them. And the graph shows that we had rates that where we hand harvested that went from about 80 to 175, and the yield was 120 bushels per acre at the low rates, going up to 170 at the high rates. So it was quite responsive to the differences in rate that we observed. And when I apply the equation from this regression to each of the catch pans in the previous slide, we found that there's a 14 bushel per acre penalty in this field relative to if the intended rate had been applied everywhere. We also found that what the fertilizer looked like before and after spreading was different. The top slide shows that there was mostly one size category, and you notice that that column gets quite a bit shorter, and the columns off to the left with the smaller particles get more fertilizer in them from what we caught in the pan, and that implies that when it was spread, the force of that vein hitting the fertilizer broke some of those bigger pieces into littler pieces. And that means that they're not going to throw as far, which in this case was good because we had a pattern that was low in the middle, and it was actually would have been lower if there hadn't been this breakage. But that's not what you want to count on. And I will briefly mention, I'll wait till the end, see if I have time. The second field was done, and all the rest of the fields were done with a high clearance self-propelled applicator. And field 2 was done before planting, so again the picture doesn't really show what the field looked like at the time that it was done. It just shows you what the machine looked like. But it was again the main nitrogen application, and we again saw uneven spread, low rate in the middle of the pass, implying that it was not due to the quality of the fertilizer and it being small particles in the fertilizer. The operator who was doing this, when we were gathering up the pans, came over and looked at them and then immediately went back to his machine and got the manual and started checking for how to adjust it, because he could see that there was more in the pans on the end and less in the pans on the middle. And then when we did the hand harvest in this field, we found a 5 bushel yield penalty. That's over every catch location. We didn't sample every catch location, but the regression of the ones that we did sample applied to these patterns suggest a 5 bushel penalty. Fields 3 to 6 I'm going to present all together because they were all similar in design and outcome. It was a high clearance applicator, but the corn was about waist high. to chest high. In all cases, they were applying less than 35% of their total nitrogen amount at that time. So most of the nitrogen had already been applied before planting, and they were coming in with a smaller later application. And field three is shown here in terms of what we caught. It's an example, but in every single field we had a sawtooth pattern, like what I'm showing here. In some cases it was two peaks like here, and in other cases it was three. There were several different machines that we were testing. We did not find any yield penalty in any of these fields. You'll notice that the intended rate in this field was 40. So it went up and down quite a lot when you look at visually, but that's because the scale is kind of compressed. It went from, say, 20, low 20s up to low 50s. So the variability in actual mass was much less than the pre-plant application. So summary. Dry nitrogen is fast. It gives you some flexibility and timing, which means you can get in season and get things done and go around the early season losses of nitrogen. I'd seen a lot of streaks from the air that suggested problems with evenness of spread, and I thought it was due to dusty nitrogen. When we caught nitrogen in six production fields, we found uneven spread, but we could not attribute it to the fertilizer quality because it was not the pattern that we would have measured if it had been the problem. We found in the fields where it was the main nitrogen application applied before planting that there was a yield penalty for that uneven application, but not when it was mostly applied, when it was applied as a top-up with this dry fertilizer. We saw breakage of granules due to vein impact, and I'm assuming that these could have been done better with better adjustment, but I don't actually know that. We haven't done any work to show that. Anyone out there who knows anything about it, I'd welcome your comments, and in fact, I welcome anyone's comments and questions at this point.
I've got a question. In those areas where you had higher than normal above your application rate, like field one and two,
right,
did you have greater yield, or did you just have the yield that you would have had if you would have put on a regular application?
The question was, when the applicator applied a rate above the intended rate, did it have the same yield as the intended rate or higher? And our answer to that isn't definitive, but especially in field one, I would say yes, we had a higher yield when it was above, and that helped mitigate the loss that happened when it was below the intended rate, but not nearly enough. And in field two, it was even more questionable whether that was the case. I mean, you look at the data, and you can't always say for sure that it was higher above, but the appearance to me was that I believe it was. Anyone else? That's a great question, and I can't answer it. The question was, between a double and single blade, single spinner system, was there any difference in performance? And, you know, I don't have clear in my head which ones were double and which ones were single, and I need to thank you for bringing that up. I'll go back, and next time someone asks me, I'll know the answer. What's a reasonable what?
CD, coefficient variation, some variability.
You mean, what should you try for?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that question much either. I think more in terms of the absolute variability, like the ones where they're just doing a 40-pound rate, the CV was very high, but the absolute variability wasn't that high. The CV was not killing them. What kills you is if the actual absolute rate goes up and down a lot. That'll really kill you. And so I think looking for a CV may be the wrong thing to look for. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.